So the name of my the title of my message is Worship More Than Songs on a Sunday. And I just have to be really transparent. I have had the hardest time with this, coming up with this. And I'm just like, Marvin sent out this message like 3 months ago to tell us that we were supposed to speak or whatever. And I just kept going, okay, well, worship. I could talk about worship. And when it came down to me preparing for it, it was obstacle after obstacle I had to face. And, just preparation for worship sets and everything like that. And I just kept going, Lord, why am I meeting this with such adversity? And then today, I'm finishing up a few key things I want to add, and I'm typing it in on the laptop, and the laptop shuts down, and all my notes I had just done, gone. And I have 10 minutes before I had to be here, and I was just like, oh my Lord. And so I was getting more upset, more frustrated. You know, I was really wanted to express what I had wrote, and now it's kind of like, no, I'm not even sure what it was. And I just was like, stop. Holy Spirit, this is not about me. This is about you, and I can do this. And I love to worship, so I should be able to express worship because it is a part of who I am. So so I really believe like this is the Holy Spirit is in the midst of this, because it has been met with so much. Yes. The enemy obviously did not want me to share about worship, which makes sense. So I'm first going to start with just to tell you guys a little bit about how Ben and I came into leading worship. Sandy reminded me of that earlier in Ben's session, that Marvin, when he used to have drill weekends, called Ben and I and said, hey, can you guys help us out? Jordan was away at Master's Commission, and I think Jim had drill as well. And so he said, we don't have anybody to lead worship. Can y'all come lead worship? And we're like, we don't know how to play any instruments. I mean, like, Ben didn't even play the bass at that time. And so we would come, and he said, I bought these DVDs, and all you have to do is stand there and lead the people. And talk about a humbling experience, because it's basically you and these DVDs, and whatever key the DVD is in is what key you have to sing it in. And it started to stir something in my heart about it, I love to worship ever since I rededicated my life to the Lord. And that was just a big part, just in my private time with God, is he was really molding that inside of me, the heart of a worshiper. And so when we came to Jubilee in 2006, the first thing Marvin says is, we need a bass player and we need some more singers. So Bethany, you're going to sing. And Ben, can you learn how to play the bass? And Ben's like, okay, And so gradually Ben starts to learn how to play the bass, and I'm singing, and I'm just a singer at this point. I'm not leading anything. And Jordan and Jim Reeder were leading the most. And so then it was, Marvin was like, okay, y'all are going to rotate. We're going to start rotating people. And so then we started rotating. And I was just telling Ms. Donna this morning. It was so cool. I so loved that time, because each and every one of us led worship in a different way. And I just have such a fondness of that, memories of Jordan. Jordan felt like a guitar solo needed to be in every single song, no matter what song it was. It needed a guitar solo. It could be the most quiet part of worship, and he thinks it needs a guitar solo. And it used to drive Sarah and I crazy. And then Sarah, when she led worship, it was always just real worshipful, quiet, type worship. And mine was just kind of somewhere in the middle. I loved both. I didn't feel like a guitar solo was necessary to every single song. No offense, guitarist. But, I was kind of in the middle of it all. And, Marvin kind of approached all of us as a team and said, you guys, we need somebody to be the leader. And And honestly, I feel like Ben and I both felt like it was going to be Jordan and Sarah. I mean, Jordan loved to worship. He loved God so deeply, and it was just such a part of him. And we just pretty much assumed that was what it would be. And even though he already was in the process of going through his chemo for cancer and stuff, and I still just felt like it was going to be Jordan. And when Marvin told us, Marvin and Woody, and that all of the leadership prayed about it, and told Ben and I, you know, we really feel like the Lord says this is what you guys are supposed to do. You guys are supposed to be the worship leaders. I was really kind of apprehensive. I was nervous about that, just that level of responsibility, because my temperament, honestly, is to not want to do. I like to be in charge of stuff, but I mean, like, my temperament is to kind of run from responsibility. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be like a new level of, you know, responsibility I'm going to take on. And because, you know, me out of Ben and I'm going to be the one that's going to, you know, be aggressive about it. And he's just going to be like, yeah, just tell me what to do, whatever, you know, type of temperament. But anyway, so here we are now. That was 2006. And so, it's been 7 years, 8 years. So it's been such a process. We've gone through several different things as a team. Like I said, we've gone through the loss of Jordan. We've gone through people leaving. I mean, we've had, I can't even remember all the people that have filtered through our team. And through it all, God has just had such a grace upon it, and such a grace upon Ben and I. And I'm not going to sit up here in front and say it was easy, because it wasn't. And there were days that I had to bring forth a sacrifice of praise in corporate worship and just be so transparent with you guys. And like, you know, I just don't know what to say. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And you know, and so it, but God is so faithful in those times of just us just being raw with him and just sacrificing all that we have. Anyways, in Webster's 1828 dictionary defines worship: to honor with extravagant love, with extreme submission, devotion, to perform acts of adoration, confession, prayer, and thanksgiving. I know for me, I long to be that kind of a worshiper that honors God with my extravagant love for him, with my complete devotion of surrender to him, and, you know, and to confess my shortcomings to him, and to just lift up not just prayers of, you know, needs, but just prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of who he is. And, you know, and just sometimes I feel like, too, when we're in those moments of prayer in worship, that we're reminding ourselves, too, of the goodness of God. We're reminding ourselves of the faithfulness of God, because we can so get distracted and sideways about who God is and what he's doing. And, you know, anyways, and Ben shared this earlier, but John 4:23-24, it says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. True worship is when our heart, when our spirits adore and connect with the Spirit of God. It's the movements of our heart, our thoughts, and our wills towards God's heart and God's wills. You know, worship is something that we just try to compartmentalize and say, okay, well, I'm going to worship at, you know, worship is what we do Sunday mornings. Worship is, like Ben said, 3 praise songs and 2 slow songs and blah, 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 and some announcements in the middle, whatever. But worship is so much more than that. It's got to be like a lifestyle to us, just a lifestyle of worship to the Lord. It has to be like in everything we do. You know, so many of you know that I'm like cleaning at my job now to make extra money. And when I'm cleaning, I'm having some of the best raw moments with God, and I am just praising God at the top of my lungs. I don't, you know, people have walked in and I've been singing, and it might sound like a frog because I'm singing so loud and I can't hear myself through my earbuds, but I'm just, because I'm just like, and it's like, that is what is getting me through this season of my life, is just taking it all and just going, okay, God, this is the tools I have, and I'm just going to make the best of it. And if I can praise you in the midst of this season of my life, then I can praise you in the midst of anything. And that's where it comes back to that sacrifice of praise. Even when you feel like I don't have it in me, I don't have anything to give, it's just something inside of you just wants to do that for the Lord, just wants to connect with the heart of God, you know, to want to go to the deep places in Him. And worship makes you want to do that. Besides the fact that He commands it of us, He commands us to worship Him. I mean, is He not the creator of the universe? So why do we do that? Why do we not want to give Him all? And you know, and I could say, as a worship leader, sometimes looking out in a congregation, and sometimes you may see like not a lot of people kind of worshiping what you would think worship is. And God reminded me, I didn't make all of you the same. I made you each uniquely different, and you're all going to worship me differently. You know, Ben is not going to worship the Lord like me. If my husband ever starts jumping up and down, I might fall out in the spirit. I might fall out in the spirit, because I'm talking about the Holy Spirit is here, and it is so heavy if he's jumping up and down and running in circles. It's just not his temperament. But yet, for me, that's nothing. That's just part of who I am. And sometimes when I'm singing, I want to go dance with the dancers, because that's a part of who I am. I'm just a worshiper. And however I can worship the Lord, I want to worship the Lord. And so God just reminds me, not everybody worships the same, Bethany. You can't just be like, just because their hands aren't extended to the rafters, that they're not worshiping the way, you know, worshiping me with their whole heart. And so I had to kind of reevaluate that, because that would be really discouraging. It's like, am I missing you, God? Am I missing that? I mean, how can I feel so alive in my spirit and they're sitting there picking their nose? I'm not sure I understand. You know, I've never seen anybody really pick their nose except the little kids, but you know, I'm just like, how can that be, God? How can that be? And you know, just reminded me, he's made us all different. So as Christians, worship, I said this, worship should be a way of life for us outside of the four walls of this church. I mean, when we're driving in a car, we should be worshiping. When we're in line at Walmart, everywhere we go, we should just be in a place of worship, a place of intercession, where we're just constantly seeking the face of God. Just, you know, like Pastor says this, asking God, what do you want to do today? Where do you want me to go today? Am I supposed to speak to that person at Walmart? Marvin has done that. He has the Walmart evangelism down pat. And Woody's the same way. And I'm just more, I like kind of, well, like walk. If I see something and I see somebody, then I'll like be behind them a while and I'll pray. And I'm like, I'm so uncomfortable. I don't want to look like a crazy person. But there have been times that I've stepped out and just been obedient, and God has just completely met me and met those people for the needs in their life at that moment. So, you know, that's what I mean. Just constantly being in an attitude and having an attitude of worship. In a heart. I believe that corporate worship is essential. I believe that it is something that brings a real strength to us, you know, coming together in a spirit of unity to glorify God together. But it's got to be more than magnificent song, magnificent music, and lovely songs with lovely lyrics. It's got to be just a way of life for us, you know. And Now, there's all of us, this songs that move our heart. You know, a lot of the songs we do here, it's because I have had a personal connection with them. You know, they have meant something personally to me, and I think, okay, God, if this is touched my heart like this, and this is how I feel, then there's got to be somebody else that feels the same way. And you know, 95% of the time, that, you know, that's right. You know, 95% of the time, and I seek the Lord. I don't pick our songs haphazardly. I would say early on, and you know, when I didn't know, I would kind of pick the songs like based on what we had available or who was playing that week. And sometimes I still have to do that because sometimes I don't have all of the musicians, but I would just pick songs that I liked. And then when I started to really understand the responsibility of it, I began to pray and I began to seek God about it. And it's just like the Holy Spirit just moves every time. You know, not because I've picked these songs with these certain lyrics, but because I have a willing heart, you have a willing heart, so therefore the Holy Spirit comes because He wants to be with us. He wants fellowship with us. He wants relationship with us. It blesses Him so much when we just come with such a hunger and a thirst that just says, oh God, I just desire so much of you. I can't go anymore. I don't want to go anywhere where your presence isn't at, God. You know, it just blesses Him. I just have this envision of when we're actively pursuing God and we're just pressing into the heavens, that God's just looking down and He's just smiling down on us, just saying, I'm so pleased with your worship. I'm so pleased with your heart for me, you know? So, you know, we gotta just never make it about us. Never make it about what our abilities even. We can't compare our abilities to one another. I use that so many times as a crutch. I'm not a musician. And, you know, I can't write songs because I don't know how to play the piano. Or, you know, I really wish I could be a vocalist like blah, 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 blah. You know, and then one time we were at Jubilee in Pensacola, and the worship pastor there, Angela Fox, she said, you are a worship pastor. Stop it. Stop putting things in a box. You are the worship pastor. God has gifted you this responsibility. Quit comparing yourself to other worship leaders, how other people do things, and just be obedient. And that just spoke volumes to me and really took my personal worship to the next level of just going, you made my voice the voice that it is. Sometimes it sounds like a church lady in the rafters voice. And I'm okay with that because it's the voice you've given me, God. You know, I'd love to have this methodical, whatever, voice that's just got all these trills, and but it's just not my voice, and I'm okay with that. The Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so, you know, I feel like God is not upset with us that we maybe have deep affection for our spouses. Obviously, He wants us to love our spouses, and it's not a sin to love sports teams or music or anything like that. But when we make those things just the sole focus of our life and make them just so important and idols in our life, that's when we've missed it. We've missed what worship's truly about. And we're worshiping creative things versus worshiping the Creator. If we focus all of our attention and our desires on God, God will just meet you right where you're at. You know, he wants to be with us. He wants an undivided heart. He wants our complete devotion, our complete affection. He is not going to play second fiddle to anything in our life. Not even, I mean, nothing. Not a single thing. And I've said this before, you know, I love Benjamin Sprouse with everything in me, but I love Jesus more. I know if God chose to, you know, take Ben from my life, that I would have God to lean on and my love for the Lord to lean on. I'm not saying you're going to die, sweetie. I'm just saying that we have to have our security in the Lord. It's so unfair for us to put our security on someone else. But we have to have our security in Him. And there are some people that just absolutely do not see that obsessively worshiping your spouse and putting so much on your spouse to meet your needs, that there's something wrong with that. God's supposed to meet your needs. God's supposed to meet your needs together. So we have to just surrender it all to Him. I wrote this a long time ago. I just love it so much. But and I say this, and Luella reminded me that I hadn't said it lately, but I said it this morning. Worship Him for all the gifts He's graciously given you. The roof over your head, the life that preserves you, His faithfulness. We should worship simply because He put breath in our lungs every day to breathe in and to breathe out. Why would we not want to scream it from the tops of our lungs that all we have, that all He's done for us, so that we can honor Him and bring glory to His name? Why would we not want to say that? Why would we not want to just lavish love upon Him? You know, so many times, and I love songs about that, songs about the love of God for us. But sometimes it's like, no, God, this is our response. Oh, how you love us. But oh, God, how I love you. Oh, how I love you so deeply. Oh, how you are the lover of my soul and the deepest parts of my heart, God. I want you and you alone. We can't get to a place where we allow the enemy to rob us of those moments with God, those moments of true intimate worship. And I've had great times of worship in corporate worship. I mean, just things that God has done, but some of my most precious, precious times in the Lord where He has just filled me up, it's been in my time alone. And in my time of just quiet and just intimacy with Him and just surrender, you know. I say that all the time. We've just got to surrender, because that's the hardest thing to do, to surrender our will to His will, to surrender it all to Him. It's just so hard. You all look so sleepy. I'm sorry. Everybody just do this. I'm just kidding. You know, I think anyone who knows me knows that's a part of who I am. And I didn't choose this journey that God gave me. I didn't choose this. God chose this for me. And I love to worship Him. And so I get the privilege every Sunday to come and be a part of helping facilitate His presence and helping lead you guys into worship. And I don't take that responsibility lightly. I don't just think about it as haphazardly or even, you know, as a chore. I really consider it an honor that God chose little old me to do something so big for Him. So in your own life, don't put God in a box. And don't think, oh, I don't do this like this, or I don't, you know, maybe I'm not supposed to, maybe I am supposed to pick. Miss Donna is learning how to play the piano now. Yes. From Tori. I mean, she's in her 60s. We can't put God in a box of what He wants us to do for Him. Just like Berlinda said last night, when God says go, we need to say yes, Lord. Don't say no, you know. So I want to admonish you to not just have times of worship here on a Sunday and just the songs that we sing here, but to go home from this moment and start a new level of worship to the Lord. You know, go, okay, God, how can I worship you deeper? How can I go, how can I give you more? How can I give you more of myself? And just see what God will do. Just see how he'll pour himself into you so you can pour yourself out for someone else. If it be your mate or someone you come in contact with at work or the grocery store, you know, just allow God to do what he needs to do in your heart to create a heart of worship in you.
And I go home and I feel so bound. For so long I felt so bound. I didn't have a place to worship. I didn't have a place. And I made excuses. Mm-hmm. And just recently, just over the last few weeks, I'm not going to turn my back on God. I'm not going to not worship him. I'm not going to not
Amen.
Praise him. And there's just been so much that has opened up for me in just the last few weeks when I decided that I don't have to come here. I don't have to come to this building to meet God on a daily basis.
Amen. That's right.
You know, and just open your hearts. Open your hearts to everything. Like you said, in your car, and it doesn't have to be verbal. I mean, like you said, standing in the line, you don't have anything else to do in Walmart line, but stand there, pray for whoever's around you, or just praise God.
Yes.
Just praise him.
Absolutely. Just praise him. Lord, thank you, Jesus, that this milk is only $3 today
yes.
instead of $4.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I mean, seriously,
yes.
having a life of thanksgiving and worship to the Lord, it will just change your whole perspective,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I have not arrived.
No.
I have not arrived. I struggle every day. I mean, when I am just feel so overworked and I'm exhausted and I have laundry piling up and I'm just like, God, I'm only one person. I can't do this and I need your grace. And then I take it right back. But Lord, I'm so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful for this clothes of this little 3-year-old boy to wash.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful you gave me this baby when it was my heart's cry. I'm so grateful, God, that you gave me this roof over my head, even if the toilet does leak sometimes. And even if all these things are going, God, I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for my husband who is ornery but yet is so kind and so sweet and so loving, you know. I'm thankful for these children. And I think when you just put things back into perspective, even when you allow the earth to come around, you're like, no, but God, oh, you are so good, God. Oh, you are so kind, God. You are so loving, God. That's why I literally will probably say that every Sunday. God, you are so good. You are so loving. Because I just feel like we cannot get that enough in our spirits to understand how awesome God is. You want to say something, Miss Donna?
No, you don't have that on, do you?
Yes.
No,